You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. We will take a look at the different aspects of the Word of God in the book of John. You know, as a movement, we have always placed a high premium on the power, truthfulness, and benefit of Scripture. And God reveals Himself to us through His Word, by which He transforms and empowers us. In 2022, we're calling everyone to a renewed commitment to read, understand, believe, and obey God's Word. Keep tuning in to know more about this series.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Joella, and I'm one of the campus missionaries here in Every Nation Macau. Maybe, do we have some first-timers here? Okay, so you have been joining us for the past weeks in our series entitled Abide, okay? And we've been having this series, month-long series, entitled Abide, and we have been pounding on the importance of the Word of God. And we hope that when we end this series, we're not going to forget about it because it's just a series. We hope that we will remember it. We will abide in it for the rest of the year, for the rest of our lives. Amen. And we pray that we were really able to grasp the importance of the Word of God. Because as believers, it's important. The Word of God is essential in our lives. And week one, we talked about that the Word of God is bread to us. The Word of God feeds our spirit. There's no way that our spiritual hunger can be fed apart from the Word of God. There's no other source, right? There's no other junk food that could fill, you know, other food that we eat from that's junk food, okay? And the second week, we also talked about the Word sets us free. And we understand that in order to please God, okay, He has not kept it as a secret. God did not, you know, say that I will not share with you what pleases me. No, God shared the things that pleases Him, the way that we are to live our lives through what? Through the Word of God. You know, for parents, it's very hard to please you if we don't know what pleases you. If you change your mind, right? But for God, He has not kept it a secret. He gave us His Word so that we will know the things that pleases Him. Right? And last week, we also talked about the Word sustains us. The Word causes us to be fruitful. We know that as we continuously get our source from Jesus, then we could bear fruit. We could change. You know, the fruit of the Spirit will bear in us. And that's why it's very important that we abide in Him, that we cling to Him, that we get our source from Him. And today we're going to talk about the Word that secures us. Secures us. Okay, so the Word of God secures us. How many of you here, you consider yourself as secure? Maybe it's hard, right? It's hard to say. It's easy to say when someone is insecure. That person is so insecure. Right? They can easily determine. But when someone is secure, okay, we are talking about someone who is confident, someone who is not easily shaken. And there's something that is very admirable to people who are secure. Right? When someone is so secure, they're not easily shaken. You tell them, you know, even if your words, you throw them words, they're not easily offended. Right? And even the things, they are so determined in what they do. They know who they are and they know what they should be doing. Those people are secure. And for us, for me personally, when I was younger, I was very insecure. But I'm glad that, you know, when I came to church, I saw a lot of people who are secure. Like, wow, I want that security. I also want to be secure, right? And it's seeing their lives that really wanted me, inspired me to also become like that. And you know, all of us, we want to be secure, right? All of us, when someone tells us, you know, when there are negative words that people tell us, you're stupid, you can't make it. You're gonna be like that forever. You can't be promoted. You're always gonna be the least. Okay, you're gonna remain a failure. You know, you can't make it. You know, don't keep trying. Okay, you're just gonna remain that way. And you know, there is that insecurity, you know, our insecurity kicks in. And we don't want that because it attacks our inner being, right? Yes, you can physically hurt me, but something internal that you're gonna attack in me, if you're gonna attack my inner being, that's gonna shake me. And we want to be secure. We want to secure in who we are. And that's why we believe that the Word of God is the only thing that could secure us. Okay? And we're going, you know, one of the, you know, not one, but the most secure human, okay, fully human and fully God that existed on earth, that lived here on earth, is none other than Jesus Christ. Okay? He is so secure that He lived 33 years of His life. You know, that He was, you know, He accomplished the purpose of God in His life. He lived out His purpose. He remained steadfast. And later we're going to learn more about that. But as we talk about being Christ-like, I hope that we get that being secure is being like Christ. Therefore, we should desire to be secure. Amen? And actually, this is the prayer of Jesus when He said this in John 17, verse 14. Okay, it starts there. But now I am coming to you, talking to the Father, and these things I speak in the world. Okay, Jesus did not leave us. Okay, He spoke His word to us that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And then John 17, verse 14, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And you know that word there, hate. Okay. You know, we know Jesus, who is very compassionate, very humble, very, you know, He's full of peace, full of joy, full of grace and truth. And you know, there are many people who followed Him. There are many people. He had lots of disciples. But you know, Jesus also had haters. Okay. There were people who hated Jesus so much. They were the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders, and they were attacking Him. They were hating Him. They were like, what? You're the nerve to say those things. They did, by the way, they didn't hate Jesus because He had bad manners or bad behavior. They hated Jesus because of the claims of Jesus. Okay, there were things that Jesus claimed for Himself, and this is what John is all about. He said, I am the bread of life. If you are a religious leader, you're going to say, really? You are the bread of life that people could feed on you, not on the good works? You know, it's like something that really struck them. And He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. Okay, Jesus was saying that, and it's not, He never denied it. One thing that Jesus did not do is He did not deny or lie about His identity. He openly spoke about it to people. When He met the disciples, when He met the crowd, He would say, this is who I am. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And He was giving that confidence. You know, He had that confidence to say that. It's because that is who He is. There's no need to lie about it. There's no need to be ashamed about it. Because that is who He is. And that is what He was offering to the people. Right? He was saying, this is who I am. Whether you believe it or not, I hope that you believe. But this is who I am. This is me. This is who Jesus is. Okay, and in His ministry, it was simply stating who He is to the people. Okay, and people, we know that people did not receive Him. Jesus knew that He is the Son of God, and He held a perfect understanding of His identity. He was unshakable. He is unshakable. And He knew who He is, with even there is so much amount of hate, doubt, insult, intimidation, deception. Remember, Jesus was also tested. If you are really the Son of God, if you are really the Son of God, right? There were also haters and say, no, you are nobody. You're not the Son of God. There is someone else that is coming. That's not you. Even His disciples, there were, you know, even some of the crowd, you know, they would neglect Him. They would insult Him. They would reject Him. And yet, Jesus remained unshakable. And you know, before he even started the ministry, okay, John 14 verse 10, it says here, this is the secret of Jesus, of why he was so secure of his identity. It says here in John 14 verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in him. The Word of God was in him. The voice of the Father is in him. He knew, he abided in his identity because the Father said so. The Father told him so. And we can see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And behold," okay, this is the time when Jesus was about to be baptized, okay, through water baptism, and the Holy Spirit was going to descend from heaven to him. And this is a word this was a declaration to Jesus when he was fully human. It says, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Such declaration from the Father. That's a declaration. This is my Son. Even if other people, even other haters, even other religious leaders would tell him otherwise, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." I don't know about you, but if God would tell me that, if God would tell you that, your confidence level would go beyond Jupiter. You remember preaching last week? It will be, you know, it will go up the roof, right? God is, the Father is telling me, "This is my beloved Son who I love, with whom I am well pleased." That was his security. The Word of God, the voice of God, defined his identity. The Word of God defines his identity. And in the same way with us, we will know who we are, what the Father thinks about us, what the Father has declared about us through the Word of God. This is where we get to hear that we are a child of God. This is where we get to hear that we are holy, we are righteous, we are precious, we are special, we were meant for eternity, that we are co-laborers of the kingdom, that we are forgiven, that we are no longer enemies of God, but we are his children. Okay, this is where we understand, and when we hear what the Father thinks about us, what God thinks about us. And this is our identity. This is who we are. Okay, our ultimate title that we could ever have is to be a child of God. No one else could tell you that apart from his Word. Apart from the Bible, it's in the scripture. It says that when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, then you can be saved. Then you can be his children. Amen? And that is the core. That is who we are. That is who God has made us to be. Not, I hope that being a child of God, there's nothing that transcends that title or that identity that we have. Because everything else will just follow. Everything else. The reason why you are a good mother, a good father. The reason why you are the best in your company. The reason why you are the best among your friends is not because you are, it's because of you. It's because you are a child of God. And I hope that we hold on to that identity, that we are a child of God. Otherwise, we cannot proceed to the next verses, right? I hope that we hold on to that. While we were singing earlier in our communion, the reason why we remember is because we tend to forget. We tend to forget that, am I really a child of God? Maybe we heard it from Victory Weekend or One-to-One. Maybe that's 5 years ago. And we have already forgotten to resonate with the truth. The first time we heard that you are a child of God, you have now become, you are now saved. You are now his, you know, you are now his co-laborer in his kingdom. You now belong to his family. That we are now all brothers and sisters. Amen. And that when we, I hope that we will not forget who we are. I hope that we will abide in that. We will continuously walk in that path, walk in that identity that I am a child of God. Yes, this world may shake me. Situations may change me. People may shake me. Even I myself may forget who I am. But you know what? We have to allow the Word of God to define us and remind us who we are, what is our identity. That is the power of declaration. Everything that God has declared about you is in the Word. If you don't read the Word, you will not know what God thinks about you. You will not know who you are. Chapter, verse 15, it says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So the Bible also tells us that there is evil. Okay? There is evil that will try to shake, attack, kill, destroy our identity. He cannot do anything about it, you being a child of God. But what he can do, he can shake you. He could lie to you. He could deceive you. He could throw you accusations. Right? And that's why God tells us that there is evil, and the prayer of Jesus is that you keep them from the evil one. These are your children. They are my brothers and sisters. And I pray that yes, they are in the world, but even if evil is still in the world, they will be protected. They will be protected, that you will safeguard them. Jesus, you know, God did not transform us to heaven right away. He said those declarations here on earth. And he says that even if they are still in the world, they are not of the world. They are set apart. They are separated. Okay, God is in the business of setting apart his children, even up to this day, even today, later, tomorrow. God is still in the business of setting apart his children. And that's why he says, I pray that you will protect them. That my children, your children will not forget their identity. That even though the evil one will throw deception, will throw lies and accusations, they're not going to believe it. That they're not going to fall for it. That they will remain secure. Because the evil one, you know, in this verse, it says here in, you will know that it is evil when he attacks the word, okay? It says there that the evil one is a liar, okay? He is the father of lies. And that's why even though we are already children of God, there are still voices that we hear, right? There are voices that we hear like lies. Okay, could you please help me with the PowerPoint? John 8:44, yeah, there are lies that he's going to tell us. You are not yet forgiven by God. You are still an enemy of God. You don't have the right to pray to God because you are not close with him. You don't have a relationship with him. He will throw lies at us and say, you belong to me. Come on, that's why you are sin. That's why we sin. Why? Because when we believe that we are from the enemy, when we believe his words, we act the same way. Right? And that's why it says when he lies, he speaks his native language. That's his native language. Okay? And for he is a liar and the father of lies. He will lie to us. He will deceive us. Did God really say that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that you will be saved, then you are already a child of God? When you start to believe in Jesus, is that really what salvation is all about? He will deceive us and say, no, you add some more good works. You perform. You prove yourself to God. You add to your salvation. It's not enough that Jesus died for you. No, you add something to it. You do good works. And then he will try to cheer you. Come on. Good job. In reality, you're tiring yourself out because you're trying to perform when in fact, Jesus already has saved us through his blood. He will deceive us. He will twist the word of God. And, you know, he will throw accusations at us. Say, you can't change. Joella, you just got angry earlier. How can you say that you're a child of God? You're still committing sins. You're still getting angry. You're still a bad child. You know, he will accuse us, you're not a good mother. Look at you. Are you providing enough? Are you doing enough? He will put those accusations in us. He will tell the father, look at, you know, he's the accuser of the brethren. Look at that child. Is that really your child? Why is he behaving like that? Why is your child behaving like that? Still being angry, still full of greed, still full of sin. You see, he just got angry earlier. He just shouted at someone last week. You know, he just was jealous of somebody last week. And you know, if you are that brethren, you're gonna feel like, Lord, really? Yeah, I did that. And Lord, I don't think we have a right relationship anymore. But you know, God says, no, those accusations, it doesn't affect my relationship with my child. That I still love him, I still accept him, I'm still willing to mold him and to change him to become Christ-like. That all those accusations, all those lies, all those condemnation, all those deception have no words. Even a million words of the enemy is nothing compared to the whisper of God. Let that inner voice that tells us, you are my child. That's the Spirit of God. He tells us, he testifies to us, no, you are a child of God. God whispers to our hearts and it speaks to us and it changes us from the head to toe, from inside out. And that whisper is enough for us to walk and live the lives that God has called us to live. And that is important that we protect our minds, because the enemy will try to sow and attack us. That's why if we are not reading his word, if we miss on reading his word, you don't know, but the enemy has already been trying to succumb you with the words that he has been throwing at you. You can say, I'm okay. It's okay. I didn't get hit by a car, or I didn't stumble today because I didn't read the word. But in reality, the voice of the enemy has already been doing his work. He's already been trying to shape us and mold us and trying to make us believe the words that he tells us. Okay, how many words are spoken to you every day? At work, is there gonna tell you're just a small potato? You're nothing. You're nobody. You're blue, right? For residents and non-residents, we hear that a lot. You're just a blue card. You cannot get promoted. You know, who are you? You're not even excellent. You know, you're nobody here. You don't belong here. To your children, they tell you you're not good enough. Your mom, you look at my classmate. Look at other parents. This is what they're giving. You're gonna believe that I'm not good enough. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good daughter. I'm not a good father. Even, you know, in yourself, what are the voices when you look in the mirror? You say, ugly, so fat. So you know, undesirable. When you look at yourself, at your sins, I'm unholy, unrighteous. And we start to believe those lies. But you know what? God wants us to be protected. And that's why we have to declare, we have to keep on repeating. You can't do it on your own. You can't have superpowers. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Meaning, when we walk with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, please tell me your word today. This is the words that are spoken to me. These are the lies that I believe. But I pray that you will guide me into your truth. I pray that when I read the word, I will be guided by you. You will tell me who I am. And how can he guide us? The Bible says he guides us into all truth. That's why we have to open our Bibles and the Holy Spirit will make it alive in us. That's why it's important. It's more than just completing spiritual disciplines. It's really the Holy Spirit making his word alive to us. Alive to us and doing his sanctifying work. You know, he protects us. And in the next verse, the first point is that the word of God defines our identity and the word of God protects us. And in verse 17, it says here, sanctify them by the truth. Okay, sanctifying is a word that, you know, when you have been justified, when you already become a child of God, from that time until you go to heaven, there is this lifelong process of sanctification. Meaning, God is continuously doing His work in our lives. Meaning, He is still taking out all of those. God is still sanctifying and purifying us. He is still cleansing us. Okay, He's still doing His work, His purifying work in our lives. So don't be surprised when you're still committing sins. Why? Because there's still sinful nature. And that's why God is cleansing us from that. That's why God is purifying us. Say that word with me, purifying. You know, when you feel that you are so, you know, that you are so filthy and unrighteous, you tell yourself, allow God to tell you, God is still purifying me. He's still purifying me. Lord, purify me. That's why we were singing that song earlier, right? Lord, cleanse me with your tender mercy, because apart from your mercy, I cannot change. Lord, you purify me, purify my heart. When I experience jealousy, when I experience insecurity, when I experience, Lord, greed and lying, Lord, purify my heart. Purify me, cleanse me. Sinfulness, you know, when your brothers and your sisters commit something, they offend you, right? How many of you here, you get offended? Or you get stumbled by what they do? You tell them, Lord, you are still purifying my sister and my brother. Don't accuse them. Don't be the one to tell them, hey, nako, you already are Christian 10 years ago. Why are you still behaving like this? No, you tell them, it's okay. God is still purifying you. I know God is still working in you. That's why we can all be secure here, right? That's why when we come here, no one will condemn you and say, hey, this leader. Hey, nako, this intern or this brother of me, even from other church, right? We can all be secure as children of God. Lord, you're still doing something in us. Thank you, God. As your people, as your family, as your children, you're still doing your work in us. You're still sanctifying us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, this is not in the PowerPoint, but it says, what is in our sinful nature? Pride, lust, envy, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sensuality, enmity, strife, jealousy. No, all those things, they're working in us, and God removes all of that. God cleanses us from that. No, that's why you no longer have that nature. I'm replacing my nature in you. He is imparting to us. That's why He's imparting His Spirit to us. That's why Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Amen. Come on, 2022. Okay, more of God. It says here, Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, I want more of that. There's something that we want more this year. God, I want to be more patient. I want to have more patience, Lord. I want to be more and more like you. Not wanting to be anybody else. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you. And when we put that in our, you know, as the goal, as our mindset, Lord, this year, I don't want to just be a better worker. I don't want to just be a better father or a better daughter or a better whoever. Lord, I want to become a better child, you know, that is pleasing to you. I want to be Christ-like. I want to be like Christ. I don't want to be anybody else, but I want to be Christ-like. And you know, we can do that by allowing the Word of God to sanctify us, to change us, to work in us. That's the third point, allow the Word to work in us. Okay? Allow Him to change us. All those sins, all those habits, all those patterns that you have been before. We are all, you know, we didn't come here clean. We didn't come here perfect. No one came here. No one came to the church with that right identity. But you know, God has defined us, and it cost us to believe. It causes us to have faith that I am no longer a drunkard, no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer a gambler. I'm no longer an adulterer and an idolater. I'm no longer those things. No, God is doing His work in me. He's calling me holy, righteous, special. It says there in the verse that is shown, says, therefore we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That identity, you are now holy, you are now righteous, you are special. The next verse says, this is the declaration of God to us. Okay, there are many more declarations. Okay, well, you can do your homework and you can do and dig in and get to know yourself. But this is just one of the things that He declared about us. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race. You are chosen. You are a royal priesthood. Say that. A holy nation. A people for His own possession. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's so beautiful. You know, when you walk in that, Lord, I am chosen by you. Lord, I am royal. The world, the titles in this world doesn't make me royal. Your identity, Lord, the word that you have given to me, that's what makes me royal. And you, I am holy, Lord. I will walk in holiness because you said that I am holy. You declared that I am holy. That's not gonna change because God declared it already. A people for His own possession. Even if you don't belong to someone, you are what? That you are a people for His own possession. God, you belong to God. God belongs to you. And that's your security. Lord, I belong to you. Right? Even if others disappoint you or leave you, Lord, I belong to you. Right? And that you may proclaim. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop that you are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, that you are His possession. But it goes on. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Meaning that there is that purpose, there is that result that comes out from you being changed by God, and that you may proclaim it to others. You know, that's why when you go out to the world, that's why Jesus did not pray that He take us out of the world. In fact, we are the very ones that God will use to bring transformation, to allow people to also find their identity in God. That's why we are still here in the world, so that we could proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us. Who called me? Jesus called me. God called me. And I can also bring this to the people around me. When I see people who are drunkards, who are gamblers, who are insecure, who are abandoned, those that have those identities, you know what? It's not for you to condemn them. It's for you to proclaim to them. You know what? God has changed me. God has removed all those things. I was also like you. That's why God will use you for other people who had similar situations with you. Right? You know, you can testify to them better. And that's why when you see those people, you don't condemn them, but you tell them, you know what? God has been doing His work in my life. I was also like that before. But you know, God has changed me. God has defined me to be His child. God is continuously working in me. God is continuously changing me. God is continuously causing me to be Christ-like. And I believe that He can also do the same for you. When that becomes natural, that becomes real, because you can easily testify to others. You cannot go from mission first, and then you cannot make it backwards, right? The more that God is changing you, the more you can be confident and say, you know what? God is working in me. God is changing me. I believe He can also do the same for you. I believe that God can also change you. To our families, to our family members, yes, they may be always angry. They're angry people. But you know what? you were also angry before, right? You were also full of anger before. And now you can tell them, you know what? God can also change you. God can also do His work in your life. Before, they are full of, you know, you see drunkards who are addicted. You see those who are insecure, those who are insignificant and feel like they're nobody and they have no purpose in this world. You could tell them, you know what? God can use you as well. God, you have a special place in the kingdom of God. You have a special purpose in the kingdom of God. All of us here, individually, from here to the kids' church, you know what? Each and every single one of us, there is a testimony that God is doing in your life. You are a living testimony that God is at work. The more that people would see the change that God is doing in your life, the more that they would be attracted to who God is, the more that you can lead them to God. You know, there's no need for striving to disciple others because in the first place, you know, it becomes a natural thing for you. It becomes easy for you. You meet someone and say, oh, I'm also going through that, but you know what? God can change us. You know what? This is the work of God in our lives. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. It becomes natural. It becomes an overflow. And imagine that grace overflowing to many more people, to our society, to our world. That's why when it says, Lord, you have the dominion over all the earth, over all the people. Lord, you have the dominion. You can change them. Not the enemy, not the evil one. Yes, evil will try to do its work, but God, you can do your work. You can change this world. You can transform this world. You could call your people from darkness into your marvelous light. And as I end in this last verse, it says there, John chapter 17, verse 19, for them I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. See, Jesus said this while he was about to be crucified. He was about to be betrayed by his disciples. I mean, yeah, he was about to be betrayed by Peter. And yet, you know, the religious leaders were already arresting him because they hated him. They didn't believe that he is the Son of God. And that brought him to the cross. That brought Jesus to the cross. And you know what? Jesus, though he is perfect, blameless, righteous, holy, that he is the Son of God, that there is no sin in him, that there is no blame in him, that he doesn't have any sin, not a sinful nature, not an ounce of filth in him because he is God. And yet he sacrificed himself. He allowed himself to be an offering and say, Lord, for your God, for your people, Father, so that you may save them, so that you may sanctify them. Lord, let my identity, me being the true vine, me being the bread of life, me being the resurrection and the life, me being the way, the truth, and the life, me being the door for your people, that will not come true if that will not be realized on the cross. And that's why Jesus said, let it be. Let it be done to me so that who I am could really do its work and so that my people could be saved. So that they could also have the identity that you have declared for them. All these declarations, all the things that God has spoken about us, this is not free. It costs the blood of Jesus. His precious, valuable, infinitely valuable blood has brought us these declarations, this word. We have received the word because we have received the word to us. We have received him. And that's why let us not treat this as something that is ordinary, but let us value it more than anything. Let us listen to it more than anything. Let us seek it more than anything, because the more that you know whose you are, the more that you will know who you are. The more you will be secure. The more you will know what you were created for and what God says about you. Now, I want us to close in a word of prayer. thank you for, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you, Jesus, that what you have done 2,000 years ago, Lord, paved the way for us to be children of God. We don't have the right. We don't have any right to claim, Lord, these declarations, Lord, but we can receive it. We have received and we can claim it, God, because of what you have done. Because your sacrifice, Lord, that pleased the Father, that allowed him to pour out his grace on us. And Lord, we ask, God, that we will not forget. We will continuously abide in your word, Lord, for your word brings us our identity, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you have done, Jesus. And we just want to praise you. We just want to declare, Lord, that you are Lord over our lives, Lord. That you have the final say. You have the final, Lord, that you have the supreme authority over who we are, God. And Lord, we worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God.
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. God bless you.